Welcome to Live Well Long, where we deliver life-enhancing, empowering messages for body, mind, and spirit to those seeking to get the most out of life, who have a zest for learning and know that learning must be an ongoing activity to achieve a vibrant, thriving life. This is your host, Alexandra Van Horn. Stay tuned for another episode of Live Well Long. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Live Well Long. This is Alexandra Van Horn, your host, and today we have a special guest. We have Andrea Gross. She is a personal development and motivational speaker. Her commitment to helping women develop their path to purpose was birthed out of her own journey to push past despair and find the confidence to pursue her passion. Over the past 5 years, she has helped numerous women and aspiring entrepreneurs to reframe their mindset for purpose-driven, passion-filled lives. And today, she'll be speaking with us on the path to acceptance. Welcome, 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 Andrea. It's so good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my absolute pleasure to be with you today, Alexandra.
Oh, so good, so good. So I'm excited to be talking with you and learning more about what you do and, yes, and really yes, about your path to getting there.
So yes, yes. Okay, so let's go for it. So like you mentioned before, I'm a personal development and empowerment strategist, and my signature system is the confidence activation framework. And a lot of people ask sometimes, why the confidence activation framework? What are you trying to say? And I often say that what I do, I help women I work with women who have feelings of being unworthy, incapable, inadequate, you know, to release those beliefs and to activate the confidence they need to pursue their passion and their purpose, right? Right. And this whole confidence activation framework came out of my own experiences, you know, and the struggles that I had in coming to accepting that I didn't need someone else to validate me. I didn't need someone else's permission to be who I knew I was, you know, the topic I'm speaking on today, the path to acceptance, is really the foundation or the entry level piece of my framework, because I believe that acceptance of self is ground zero as far as developing or activating your confidence is concerned.
Right. Absolutely. We have to start with loving ourselves and beginning there.
Correct. Yeah. Now, why would we struggle so much to accept self? You know, like I always say, people, if you asked a room of 100 people, do you believe if you had more confidence, you would accomplish more of your dreams, goals, and aspirations? I believe 98 would say yes, you know, but my belief is that's not so, because I believe that we were all born courageous because we were fitted with the things that we need to pursue the passions that we have. Mm-hmm. However, our life experiences, you know, our relationships, whether they be parental relationships that didn't go well, you know, platonic relationships, friends and so on, or even more intimate relationships, even in a marriage, you know, or on the job, different right, situations happen in those relationships that begin to chip away mm-hmm, at the confidence we have in ourselves. You know, when you were 8 and 12 and 15, you knew exactly what you wanted to do. You were the cutest girl. Your dress was the prettiest. Your hair was fly. You knew everything about you was just cool, you know. Right. But over time, as we entertain different people, different relationships, different situations, right, we get to that place where gradually that confidence begins to be chipped away, right, you know, until after, before we know it, it's all covered under our blanket. Right? And we are afraid to put that foot out just to be ourselves.
Right.
So self-acceptance is all about understanding that regardless of the experiences that you've had, the mistakes that you've made, you know, poor choices, whatever, you can reframe those experiences to the place where they become something that empowers you rather than holds you back, you know? And so that's what self-acceptance, or why self-acceptance, is so crucial for us to step out into our purpose and the things that we're passionate about.
Right.
Now, the other thing to note is that as we were growing up, like I said, young adults, teenagers, we wanted to live on our own terms. We wanted to be ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But then as you grow older and we get into this adulting thing, we begin to embrace some norms that society puts on us, who you should marry, when you should marry, you know, what car you should drive, what job is important or meaningful, you know? And so we now move from being bold and courageous to the place where now we are asking permission, you know, or we want to see whether we are accepted, you know, whether we fit into this particular neighborhood or do we fit into this particular social circle? You know, do our kids go to the same schools that these other kids, parents send their kids to? You know, and so we struggle so hard to fit in and to be a part and to be accepted. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the catch 22 to that is that if you let on that, or you make yourself vulnerable, that this is how you feel and that you're struggling to be accepted, then that's a no-no. It's an embarrassment, you know? So we learn now how to mask that.
Right.
So we move from wanting to be accepted to being inauthentic.
Right.
You know, being
that we don't need to be accepted.
But exactly.
Yes.
Come on, you got that right. We put up that facade, Alexandra, we put up that facade because right. now we have to act the part. But inside right. we're dying. Mm-hmm. Inside mm-hmm. we're dying. And the thing is, even though, we don't feel accepted, right? Or we feel that we don't have the confidence to step forward. It's not that we are lacking confidence in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're lacking confidence in how we will be received, how we will be accepted, if people will agree with us right. on the opinions we have of ourselves.
Right.
You know, but that happens for so long that we begin now to tell ourselves that, no, you know, what they're saying must be right, because whenever I put something out there, they shoot me down. You know, have you ever been in a meeting or a setting where you came up with an idea, but each time you come up with an idea, there's somebody there who wants you to know that your idea wasn't good enough?
Of course, right? Yes.
So you
one-upmanship, yes.
Right. So you leave that setting feeling deflated, mm-hmm. feeling less about yourself, beginning to question, oh, really? Probably, you know, I'm not as good as I think I am. Probably mm-hmm. I'm not the smartest girl in the room, you know? Probably I should let Sandra or Alexandra speak when we're in that setting rather than me saying something, you know? And so we just pull ourselves back. And so my objective here with this particular part of my program is to cause people to see, women particularly, especially women who have, you know, had experience, they are career professionals, they're probably looking to see how they could make a change in their career. I just don't want to retire and go sit by the pool and cross my legs, you know, but I do believe that there's more that I have to offer. I want these people to recognize, you know, because so many of them think it's too late. I should have done it then, or I should have done this then, or I'm not good enough. I don't have enough to offer. I want them to understand that regardless of what you've been through, yes, we've all made some silly mistakes. Right. You know, we've wasted some opportunities, but that's okay.
It's a learning process.
It's a learning process. Life is a journey, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not the destination so much that we should be looking at, because we get disappointed and deflated because we set some destinations and some mile markers and we don't hit them. But can we enjoy the journey?
Right.
Can we enjoy the journey? Can we become comfortable in our own skin? Can we accept that, yes, I made a boo-boo, I made mistakes, I did some silly things, but you know, I learned some things from that. And because I learned those things, it's now made me a better person. There's a lot that I have to offer. There's a lot that I have to enjoy. But first, we have to accept ourselves. We have to, like you said before, fall in love with ourselves all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be like, we have to be our own best friend. You've probably heard
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Right? We have to just love us, keep coming back like, oh, I made a mistake. Well, I just have to keep loving myself and move forward. What did I learn from it? How could I, if that happens again, how could I respond differently? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just keep moving forward. Yeah.
And the other thing too is that we beat up on ourselves so hard about mistakes that we make. Mm-hmm. What is that really? Because there are a lot of words that we give dirty connotations to. You know, what mm-hmm. is a mistake? It's just that you went a particular route and you may have to retool. You may have to pivot. You may have to go in a different direction. It's okay. You know, when I look at these big corporations, the JCPenney's, the Sears and all those people who are going bankrupt and so on, they have all these brilliant minds on these boards and so on. Hey, so what if you started a project and you had to redo it? What's a big deal?
Right.
You know, what's the big deal? It's all about this path, this journey called life, and this path of getting to that place where I can be not just my own best friend, but my best cheerleader. You got this. Come on, we got to do this. You know, we have got to have that kind of conviction about ourselves so that we can keep on going and continue to contribute those things that we have that we're sitting on.
Yes. And one of the things that I've come to be aware of over the years from, you know, growing up and then being married and raising children, was being aware of the programming that I received as a young child and how to improve upon it. And, you know, and how that programming, you know, may really color how we respond to something or the internal dialogue we have. If we're told as a child some negative things every time we made a mistake, then that's the conversation we have about ourselves. And having to overcome that as an adult, like, okay, wow, that's not necessarily true. That's what, you know, my mom, my dad, my teacher, whoever it was, classmates said to me. And then transcending that.
Absolutely. Just last night, I was just sitting for a minute and thinking about, I was listening to this song about a heart that forgives. And while I was thinking about it, I don't know why, but my mind went to the word scars. Scars, S-C-A-R-S. And I was thinking about my own self and some areas that I had not walked fully in forgiveness, right? Now, I told myself that the hurt, the pain, the disappointment that I felt in those situations or those relationships, I was over it. It didn't bother me anymore. But what I saw last night was that even though those wounds were there and they may have healed, the scars remained.
Yes.
Now, the scars are the things that forms those mindsets. Because even though I am not bothered by the fact that my stepmom or a brother or a friend did me badly, right? I now gauge my relationships in the present based on those situations that I had before. So for example, if I had, the way I grew up, in an atmosphere that was very restrictive. It didn't allow me expression. Now I'm a loud, joyful girl, do it, whatever, take chances. But I wasn't allowed to express that.
Right.
As I grew up, it embedded in my mind that I always had to wait for somebody to allow me to be myself.
Right.
Okay. So even though I got over the situations that were unfortunate or unfavorable in my childhood, as an adult now, I still sometimes I'm waiting for permission. Right. You know, so that's the scar that's left behind. So if it were, say, somebody who had a problem with an abusive relationship, though that person may have died and gone on or just not a part of your life anymore, and you're so relieved that, you know, that part of that aspect of your life is gone, how now does that affect how you step into other relationships?
Absolutely.
How you entreat other people that you meet? You know what I'm saying? How are you able to receive love?
Right.
You know, how are you able to receive even constructive criticism? Because if you have that scar, each time somebody guides you or even, you know, gives you positive feedback, you are going to see it if you have those scars remaining, that it's that same demeaning situation, that same demeaning, those same demeaning conversations and that demeaning relationship that you had before. And so it's important for us to undo, you know, that programming, like you said, and to really get over the scars. You know, it's like, if you think of it in the natural, I like to use examples. If a woman had an accident 10 years ago and she got a scar on her forehead, each time she steps out or wants to put her makeup on or she thinks she's being admired by somebody, chances are the first thing she's going to think is, are they seeing my scar? You know, what are they thinking about this gash on my forehead? So, you know, we really have to, like you said, redo that programming and move beyond the scars of our past situations and circumstances.
Like, one of the things I have found over the years is, you know, when I realize that there's something that gets activated, so to speak, from like something that brings you back to the past
trauma. Yes.
Staying fully conscious, like, okay, is what I'm seeing and hearing now, what I'm thinking about it, is that really accurate?
Yes.
And continue to come from openness and love and ask questions maybe to understand where they're coming from with mm-hmm. without defense, without being defensive, which
correct.
Is
correct. Correct.
Very alert.
Yeah. And that's one of the very first signs of self-acceptance mm-hmm. because people can come at you and they're wrong, mm-hmm. but they can also come at you and they're right. You know, I remember back in the day, I would say there are a lot of things that people say about me that are ugly that are true. Mm-hmm. And you have to get to that place of maturity and self-acceptance where you can accept, okay, yes, I was mean. Or yeah. I am being mean. My motive, yes, my actions may be so and so and so, but my motive here was mean. I was really only thinking about myself. Mm-hmm. But okay, that doesn't mean that I am the Grinch. It doesn't mean I'm the most horrible person on the planet.
Right.
You know, what I need to do is to be responsible enough to take ownership of that and to fix it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So that is one of the, like I said, the first evidence of self-acceptance, that you're able to receive that critical feedback and whether it's justified or not, right. and still not be, you know, disempowered by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. So is there like a little takeaway that you could give to our listeners that gives them, you know, just like one tip for a way they could handle something when they feel activated, just to give them like a taste of what your work is?
Okay. All righty. So it's funny you should say that. Like I said, the thing that leads us to that place where we are so lacking in acceptance of self,
right,
is the experiences that we've had, the relationships that we've had, the mistakes that we think we have made.
Right.
Okay. But if we can just accept that life is like a recipe. Mm-hmm. It takes everything. It takes your highs, it takes your lows, it takes your strengths, it takes your gaps, your opportunities, it takes all of that.
Right.
So if that's really what it comes down to in terms of being able to be at peace with yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to accept that you are not infallible. Mm-hmm. You are not infallible and you don't need to pretend to be that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Identify who you are. I like to say that there are three D's to success, and the most important one is to define. Define who you are. What it is that makes you tick. What is it that brings you joy and fulfillment? Define mm-hmm. that on your terms.
Right.
Once you have,
it's different for everyone.
It's different for everyone. Right. You know, because you're not the girl who lights up the room, you know, like Sarah does. That's okay. You may be the voice of reason in that room. So right. be comfortable with that. And once you've defined who you are based on your terms, mm-hmm. then you need to look now, okay, what are those things, Alexandra, that stand in the way of you being consistently who you are? What is it? Is it other fear of other people's opinion? Is it fear of failure? You know, mm-hmm. what is it? And then we now have to address that. How do we create a strategy that will take us beyond that? What do we do with our thinking? How do we deprogram or reprogram our minds? And mm-hmm. a lot of times that you can't do that alone.
Right.
You can't do that alone, you know, because you are going to be the voice in your head as it is, but you've got to open yourself to different perspectives. And I always say, you know, there's a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. It takes a community to build dreams. It takes that. Mm-hmm. And the person, I believe in coaching. I am the result of good coaching, you know, but that person that you'll talk to does not have to be labeled coach. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you begin to cultivate the community that you know you need. Because if you are objective and honest with yourself about what it is that you want and who you really want to be, mm-hmm. who you are, in fact, right? And you can identify what stands in the way. And that's why with self-acceptance, there must be self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So if you objective to look at what stands in the way, then you now can begin to earmark some mentors. Some mm-hmm. people who you see operating in a way that you would want to operate, right. living the way you would want to live, you know, right. and don't be intimidated by another person's success or because somebody seems to have it all together. That's right. not an indictment on you. Right. It's an opportunity now for you to pull from them what you think you need, for you to mirror what you think you need. You don't have to try to duplicate who they are, but how can you pull something that will make you better?
Right. That's how I've always lived my life, in fact, is always like being just open to learning.
You know, absolutely. Whether
it's workshops, listening to speeches. And of course, now with all of the information we can get on the internet, it's wonderful. It's like my daily routine is, you know, listening to this podcast, watching this video, just what can I learn? What can I learn to just keep new good experience coming through my life to constantly transform stuff that's ready to go?
Exactly. And so the objective is not to stand in awe of these people who are doing it well,
but
for you to always stay connected to the core of who you are and who you desire to be.
Right.
You know, so many times we give ourselves a pass by what we acquire, you know? So if I acquire this and I'm driving Mercedes and, you know, I can shop, wear the designer stuff, then it means that I'm comfortable with myself. No. Because you're miserable at home. You're miserable on the inside. You know what I'm saying? So don't give yourself the crutch of stuff. Like I always say, don't focus on what you have. No, I'm not against stuff and money and things. If you have it, bring it on. I'll show you what to do with it, you know.
But
don't let that be your focus. Focus on who you become.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And understand that the genesis of who you become is already there.
Right.
Okay.
No, I was just going to air. Can you share something that brought you to this place of greatness? Let's call it that. Yes.
And that's an awesome question. I lost my mom at 14 years old.
Okay.
And so it was a very difficult time for me because I lived in the islands. I'm Jamaican, in case you missed it. I lived in the islands. And so my big dream back then, when I was anywhere between, I would say probably 8 years old to 14 years old, was that I was going to migrate to come live with my mom. That was my dream, because I lived with family and adopted grandma, and it was a loud, happy family and everything. But there was always that aching to be with my mom. You know, when I looked at other kids in my age group at the time, and they had their parents with them, and I don't care what anybody says, as somebody who never spent all my formative years with my mom, there is an emotion, a feeling, a covering, a strength that you get that only a mother can give. That's all I say. That only a mom can give. And so I longed for that. I yearned for that. But then one evening I came home from school, quick story, and my grandma was there sitting in another cousin of mine. And before I got onto the veranda, I knew there was a problem. Because I said hello, and it was almost like silence. Yeah. And in 15 minutes, I learned that my mom was in the hospital and she had 10 days to live. Thousands of miles away. My whole world was shattered. And so fast forward, what that did for me, at that age, some way subconsciously, it was almost, I felt that I was to be blamed, or I was undeserving of the things that I was aspiring to, all the dreams I had to be with my mom.
Right. And I think a lot of times children do that, whether it's a divorce or loss of a parent in some way, they blame themselves.
Correct. And so that followed me through my young adult life, even into my adult life, where one of the things that, yes, I mean, I could tell you a whole day story of, you know, how my life went from age, I think it was 12 or 13, up to, you know, my 30s, but just to encapsulate it, the thing that I think was the most difficult thing for me is that experience embedded in my mind that I would always be disappointed, that I was never worthy of accomplishing the things that I aspired to, or the things that I dreamt of.
Right.
You know, and so I struggled with that, and I struggled with it in a way that when I got to young adulthood, I put up the mask.
Right.
I put up the mask that I was frustrated with myself. So I was defensive, you know, because I just, I got to that place where I felt that the world owed me something because I was done in. Poor me. I lost my mom. You don't understand what I went through. Who are you to judge me, kind of a thing. So I took on that whole victim mindset.
Right.
Not realizing that for as long as I continued to see myself as a victim, I was holding on to the pain.
Right.
And so I had relationships, but I couldn't maintain relationships. And that was, I mean, even with friendships, you know, because I would always do things to self-sabotage.
Right.
And it continued through my, as I started working, my working life. And right. I think that the thing that really turned the light on for me mm-hmm. was when I lost my third job out of four. Yeah. That was what turned the light on for me. And I was like, no, it can't be everybody. Right. It must be something that you need to do, you know? Right. And so I began
putting out there. Right.
Absolutely. I began to take a look at myself because that was my dream job. It was mm-hmm. a life insurance sales job, but that's the first experience that I had that nobody had to dictate to you what you could earn.
Right.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? And it made me feel so empowered. And then I did everything. When I got fired that day, the right. only thing that I could recall was that there was nobody I could blame for what happened. Ah. It was all on me. And so that began my path to self-acceptance, self-awareness, and just taking responsibility
right.
for who I was going to be and who I was going to become.
Right.
Beautiful. So that really was my genesis.
Beautiful. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. So how can our listeners reach you if they want to reach out to you in any way to tap into your workshops or your services?
Absolutely. So my brand is Recruit. And again, that was birthed out of my experiences where I was sitting around waiting for somebody to validate me and to award me an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, the thing that came to me was that I don't need somebody else to create a space for me. Mm-hmm. Because once I define who I am and what it is that I want, then I can create that path for myself. Now, can okay. I do that alone? No, you can't do that alone. But mm-hmm. on my path, on the path that I've created for myself, mm-hmm. I can now go after that. Intentionally and deliberately, and then I can pull whatever the resources I need as I create those opportunities for myself. So all across social media, I am Create Your Lane. Okay. So on Instagram, it's Create Your Lane _. On Facebook, okay. I am Create Your Lane. I also have my website, createyourlane.org. If you go online to the website, you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can subscribe to my newsletter. Right. And you will be on my list to get all the tips, strategies and all the fun stuff that we do here at Create Your Lane as we help to empower women and work with them to activate the confidence they need for passion and for purpose.
And how do your services get delivered? Is it over the internet? Do you have host one-on-one face-to-face or workshops?
Basically. I do one-on-ones, yes. And most people will interact with me for the first time through my speaking engagements. But I also have a whole series of ebooks that mm-hmm. you can readily access online. And I have the 3 R's for success. You know, I also have the acceptance blueprint, which is my first module, is also in ebook form. So come on over to the community, follow me on Instagram, jump into the Facebook group, or, you know, subscribe to my newsletter and I'll be able to share all those goodies with you.
Yeah, excellent. Beautiful. So createyourlane.org is the website and create your lane anywhere
else. _ is Instagram. Yes. And Facebook is Create Your Lane. Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. And I'm sure our listeners have gotten a lot of great value out of this, and I expect I'll be reaching out to you in some way, shape, or form. So this is very cool.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being with us today, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
I truly appreciate the opportunity, you know, that you would have me come speak to your community. I know that the people that are aligned with you have a zest for life, you know, and that they want to do more, not just for themselves, but for the people that they encounter. And so it's my pleasure to serve.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, and true, when one person transforms, it's just not themselves. It's every life they touch, and then those lives touch other lives. So there's just this magnificent ripple effect. So
absolutely. So it says that you and I, right now, today, and everybody who's listening to this podcast, we have the ability to change this world.
Yes, we do. Awesome. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And I will connect with you.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank
Thank you for listening. This is Alexandra with Live Well Long. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our important episodes. We want to be sure that you get everything you can to do your best to live well long. Feel free to reach out to me at alex@avhcoaching.com. And remember to take good care of yourself so that you live well long. Talk with you soon. Bye.